called Grace's Remedy for Indwelling Sin. Last time we spoke about the local church as being a remedy, a grace's remedy to combat indwelling sin within our lives. Now, the whole series that we're doing, the short series we're doing, can be summed up in Romans 12:21 by these words, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Really, that's how we overcome indwelling sin, besetting sins in our life, by overcoming evil with good, keeping busy in the Lord's service. And so today we're looking at the Bible as being a vital means of grace for the Christian's fight against indwelling sin in our lives. It's fair to say that the Puritans were among some of the godliest Christians and the reformers that ever lived. And it has been said of Puritanism that it was a Bible movement. The Puritans had a profound respect and awe of God's most holy word, the Bible. They sought to apply it in every facet of their lives, like a gem, really, that has been sharpened on every single side by the word of God, which made the gem to shine no matter what angle you looked at the gem. Such were the Puritans' lives. They shined on every side, being cut, as it were, on every side by the word of the living God. And so ask yourself a question. Why did Christians like the Puritans and the Reformers seek to regulate their whole lives around the Bible, around God's most precious word? And the answer really is because they believed the Bible to be the very words of Almighty God to them. And so it really comes down to this for us today. Do we believe in the Bible to be God's words given to us, inspired of God, given to us? Everything that we need in this life, we can see in the Bible. If you do believe, like the Puritans did, you will take God's word seriously. For it says in Isaiah 66:2, "But to this man I will look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." That's the type of person. We look to God's word. There is a awe, a majesty over God's word. Does God's word at times come into your hearts like thunder, and it wakes us up to spiritual things? It wakes us up to the things of eternity, and it lightens our understanding as a discerner of the thoughts. Can you say, as the Lord's disciples did in Luke 24:32, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" We say that when God's word is being preached to us, when we're reading our Bibles, that there's that burning within our hearts. The Lord Jesus is speaking to us. We know these are God's words. And so there's that burning desire to live according to them and to take them to heart. If this is the case, you will take to heart why God's word is a critical means of grace to combat and to fight indwelling sins, those besetting sins in our life. We all have them, because we all have the old nature. And it's that enmity. When we become a Christian, we have inherited the Holy Spirit, the new nature, so there's that change. But also the old nature is there. That's why the Apostle Paul says, "I'm richer than I am as a Christian." So we have that indwelling sin we have to fight against. And yet the Lord has given us means of grace to combat indwelling sin. And so the Bible really is a vital, a crucial means for us to combat those sins that so easily beset us. And so to assist our study today, I'd like us to consider the following three points. And so firstly, the absolute necessity of daily devotional study time in God's Word. We see right throughout the scriptures, whether it is Job or Abraham, Joshua, we see that those faithful men and women of old, gave themselves to the words of God. They got up early. They started the day in quiet time with the Lord. And so, firstly, the absolute necessity of daily devotional study time in God's Word. Secondly, the need for it to be done by faith. We must read our Bibles heartily, prayerfully, by faith. We see that with David, how he pours his heart out before the Lord. And so, secondly, when we do come to God's Word, let us not do it begrudgingly. Yes, it should be a duty, but it should be done heartily, believing, when praying, believing. And when we study God's Word, we do it because we go to it as the words of God and not men. Thirdly, it must be done comprehensively. And the reason I say that is because much of the Christianity nowadays, they do not study all of God's Word. It says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished. And so all of Scripture is important, because when we pluck a text out of context, it's a pretext. And often that's why we see so many schisms in the church. It's because often a doctrine is based upon that. For instance, we see with the book of Acts, how much of the charismatic movement have based the doctrine on just one book and not looking at the light of the whole of Scripture. And so it must be done comprehensively, thirdly. And so let us start on our first point for today, the absolute necessity of daily devotional study time in God's Word. Now, of course, we have different roles and responsibilities, and so how we spend time in God's Word may vary. A brother of ours is working this evening, and so he may sleep in. I don't blame him for that. But when he gets up, I'm sure the first thing he will do is probably with a cup of tea or coffee is go to God's Word and study it and have that quiet, precious time with the Lord. And this is true with all true believers, to cultivate within their life that time in the morning. Upon true conversion in Christ, the Lord gives a believer a hunger for the Word of God. For it is written in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know, just as our bodies need feeding, so do our souls need feeding. In fact, if we look at the Lord's Prayer only has one petition, only one prayer request for the body. All the other petitions are spiritual. Our souls are made for eternity, our spirits are made for eternity, and we must, if we're Christians, feed our souls. We need to feed it more than our bodies, and so that must take the priority. We must put in place that which is of infinitely more value than our bodies, our souls. And so it's critical for Christians to give themselves a good feeding in the morning. Before I was saved, you should have seen my breakfast. It was a floppy piece of toast with a cup of tea. But when I was married, I have lovely, wholesome, nutritious breakfasts now, which I thank my wife and my daughters here for, cooking lovely breakfasts. And that's a bit like God's Word. We need a nutritious, healthy feeding of God's Word. Our spirits do. Otherwise, we'll become weak throughout the day. It's a defense, a help. And so, think about it. The long-neglected soul for many years has been deprived of spiritual food before conversion. But upon true conversion, the newly born Christian has a big appetite. And if you can hearken back, you have been believers for a while now, you can hearken back to when you're just converted, that hunger for God's Word. Oh, we couldn't get enough of it. And what we need to do as Christians is we need to go back, like David says, return the joy of my salvation. Go back to those days where there was that closeness, that hunger for God's Word. We need to pray for that, especially amongst the antagonism of a culture. Go back to God's Word. Our society tries to put all these devices and distractions, TV and all sorts of things, and some of them are not intrinsically evil things, but they can be a great waste of time. time. And so what we need to do as believers is we need to cultivate and get back to God's word and be hungry for God's word. As a baby, you've seen our little baby, Lydia Faith. As a baby, earnestly desires that sincere milk from her mother. And she will not stop, let me tell you. 4 months down the line, or a bit more now, almost, was it 5 months? Almost five, yeah. Not five, four. But a baby needs that milk. And we as Christians need that sincere milk and meat of God's word in order to grow thereby. And so let us earnestly cultivate and give ourselves to the word of God. It says in Psalm 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It is our heavenly guide in this dark world, this world that has rejected our Savior, this world that is so hostile towards our Savior. God's word, if there's any comfort to be had, it is in God's word, isn't it? And we need to pick up our lamps, don't we? If we don't have picking up our lamps and trimming them, as it were, and using them, how can we be guided throughout the day? And this was talking in the context of a daily picking up here, because it's talking about when we walk, my feet, and a path here. So this is really giving us an application that God, we need to be in God's word every day. We need to cultivate every day of that picking up and that studying, that comprehensive, heartfelt study in God's word. And He will guide us. He will bless us. He promises He will. And so God's word can only be a lamp if it is picked up and it's used. These Bibles here, men and women and people have died to give us the words here. Countless people have gone through the flames so that we can have these words. These words we have here are more precious than gold that perisheth. If we as Christians get into the habit of not starting the day with our lamps, we will soon stray, won't we, into darkness. We can never lose our salvation. We know that. Salvation is the Lord. But if we do backslide, if we're not going forward as a Christian, we're going backwards. There's no such thing as a middle ground as a Christian, because you're in a race. You're either going forward or you're going backward. You're either using the lamp and going forward, being guided and blessed by the Lord, or you're not using God's word and the means He has given you, going backward. And so let us go to God's word, give ourselves to His word. If we do not have a daily disciplined routine fixed in God's most holy word, we can expect to fall, dear beloved of the Lord. Because there's no light to stop us from falling into the many pitfalls of life. And the devil has laid many, hasn't he? Many pitfalls in our life. We have the flesh, the inclination of the flesh. We have the world and we have the devil, a threefold enemy. And so, but God has given us divine protection. But we need to cultivate it and use what God has given us. And so, the Lord Jesus even said Himself, didn't He? "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." My sheep hear my voice. Every day we are to hear the Good Shepherd's voice, guiding us, challenging us, instructing us, blessing us through His word. How often do sheep hear a farmer's voice? I remember living up in Barnstable, a place called North Hill, and my brother Jason came to stay. And he's from the London area, and he was surprised when he saw the farmers calling for the sheep with some special feed they had, and they came running, running across the, not just kind of a jog, it was a sprint, all these sheep running for the farmer. My brother Jason's like, "Wow, what are they doing? All these sheep running." They heard the farmer's voice, and they knew it was feed time. And I think that's just like believers. We hear the shepherd's voice. It's a daily thing. We go to his word. he speaks through his revealed will, the Bible. That's his revealed will. If we want to know God's will for our life, we go to the Bible. We're guided by the Bible. The Good Shepherd calls us. We hear his voice. And so how often should we hear our Good Shepherd's voice? It should be every day, like sheep, hearing that guidance, that protecting. We can go in and out and find that green pasture for our souls. And so you must employ daily devotional time in God's Word if you expect to combat and to fight against indwelling sin. I must do that in our lives. It says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If we expect to be sanctified, we've got to employ God's word. Dearly beloved, the new nature God has given you upon conversion needs daily wholesome feeding and nutrition. As it says in John 6:63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. God's words are life. We have to feed our spirits with God's word. And so let's now move on to our second point in today's Bible study. In the Bible, being a means of grace to remedy indwelling sin, the need for it to be done by faith. It must be done by faith. When we open up God's precious word in the morning or in the evening in family worship time, or perhaps in the close of the day, we must do it heartily, by faith, prayerfully unto the Lord. If we have faith in our Bibles being the very word of God to us, then we will treat it as such. We'll treat it as that goal where we go to, and we can build up treasure in heaven every day. Do we believe that all scripture is given by inspiration of God? Do we truly believe in that? If we do believe in that, we will treat it as treasure every day. And it's a treasure which is inexhaustible. Every day we can keep on going back to that, finding out more truths. It's the living word. And so every day it speaks to our souls. And it is that food, that banquet that never stops feeding us. Let us continue to go to it every day. Do we believe by faith in Christ's words that says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass? Matthew 24:35. Those things which are done for Christ are the only things that are going to last. And so what we need to do is put things into perspective. What's going to last? Only that which is done for Christ. Forever is thy word settled in heaven. And the more we give ourselves to God's words, more in our hearts, the more really we will have that heavenly peace and perspective and guidance and blessing in our life. Let's be encouraged to prayerfully and heartily study God's word. Not do it begrudgingly. Not do it out of a chore, but to do it heartfully, as unto the Lord. Can we say with the psalmist, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved? Do God's words hold more weight in your estimation than man's words? Do they hold more weight than my own words, than your own words? They must hold more weight. Happy indeed are you if you have this awe of God's words. Because when difficult times hit and the storms of life come rolling in, as they do with all of us, you won't have to depend upon your feelings. And you won't have to depend upon man's empty words. You've got God's words to go to. You've got God's guidance to go to. You've got that heavenly comfort to go to. You've got that perspective to go to. Look at Job, when he lost everything. He lost, of course, all his livelihood. He lost his children. And then he lost his health, didn't he? And then his wife told him to curse God. But yet in the end he said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away that which he giveth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He had that heavenly perspective. God's word was deep within us. And that's what we need, really. We need God's word deep within us, cemented within us. And we can only really do that if we truly are spending regular devotional, heartfelt, prayerfelt study time in God's Word, make it a priority in the morning to spend, not just read a psalm or a daily bread or a little booklet. God's Word, nothing can replace God's Word. There's lots of books on theology, and they can be helpful as long as they agree with God's Word. But God's Word is tried and fired 7 times, and it's perfect. It is inspired. Often, I think, with much of the books nowadays, we tend to spend much time reading a lot about theology, and it's important too. They're helpful, but we must make sure the Bible is our number one book. I think it's George Whitfield, the famous evangelist, that said he learned more in 1 month of reading God's Word than in years of reading other books, the other books on the Puritans, and they're excellent. And he read some amazing books like Baxter's books and others. We must make sure that the Bible is our number one book. The Apostle Paul speaks to the Thessalonians in this respect in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. It says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Look at that. When the apostles spoke the word of God to the Thessalonians, they took the word of God not from men, but from God, that effectually worketh in them that believe. And so when we come to the means of grace, whether it be in our own Bible devotions, our quiet times with the Lord God, whether it's the local church, whatever means of grace it is, let us always remember that these are God's words. These are heavenly words. These are perfect words. These are able to stop us from falling. Dear friends and beloved, as it says in Colossians 3:1, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Friends, I know, and beloved, I know from time to time we can all get discouraged, and we can all backslide, and we can all have times where there's disappointment. But let us make sure that we go back to that inexhaustible fountain of God's Word. Let us truly go back to that and cultivate that zeal and love for His Word. Now, moving on to our third and final point for today's Bible study, being a means of grace to remedy indwelling sin. And that is, it must be done. God's Word, a means of grace to combat indwelling sin, must be done comprehensively. It must be done thoroughly. Both testaments. Of course, like I said earlier, that's why we have so many schisms and error coming in, because a lot of people get their doctrine by reading a particular passage or watching a video or some book they've read, and they do not have their own convictions. They're not studying God's Word comprehensively. And so they may listen to a video online or read a book, and it can completely lead them down the wrong path. We must have our own convictions and understand not other people's convictions. There must be our convictions. We must believe in God's truth because we understand it. It must not be another man's understanding. It must be our understanding. And that will keep us from error, to show ourselves approved of God. We need not be ashamed if we're doing that. And so let our study of God's Word be comprehensive. Like I said, much of the error we see within the comfortable, nominal, and frankly confusing Christianity we see nowadays is really down, can be contributed to, quite frankly, a bone idleness of many professing Christians in the study of God's Word. There is a laziness. I think the culture has really got in the convenience culture we live around. The social media, Instagram, I need it instantly, I need these things instantly. And so we're so used to screens that we won't sit down anymore and spend an hour in the morning getting up reading God's word, studying God's word, preparing our souls for the day, for the battle. We're in a warfare. That's what we need. And we as Christians need to make sure that we are arming ourselves, spiritually speaking. Often, important decisions, vital doctrine, and the way Christians ought to live their lives are not being taken by the prayerful and heartfelt examination of God's most holy word, but they are often taken by an experience they felt, or a famous sermon they've heard. And this is the great error we see. People are being led by their feelings, how I feel, or by what I've heard, not what God's word teaches, but the whole counsel of Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so often than not, we see that many of the nominal Christianity nowadays is a cherry-picking Christianity. I can just pick and choose the bits I want out of it, and that will be fine, as long as I do certain things. But we'll always be disappointed. There will always be an emptiness if we approach God's word in that way. None of these things I've mentioned should be our basis for how a Christian ought to live their lives. Holy Scripture alone, and all of it, must be the Christian's final authority for both faith and practice. It must have the final court of appeal. Men may have their opinions, but God's word must have the final court of appeal. Because even good, sincere Christian men can be deceived. I can be deceived. You can be deceived. We're not perfect, are we? We fall short. We can be overcome in faults. And so that's why we need God's word to sharpen us, to help us. Even a good sermons, sound sermons, can be exaggerated and can be perhaps passionately overcome in a certain way. That's why we need God's word. It's a check, isn't it, on our lives. A perfect example of this, a well-known godly Welsh minister, I'm sure we all know of that Welsh minister, is a man called Martin Lloyd-Jones, a godly minister, Martin Lloyd-Jones, who for many years championed the Reformed evangelical movement in the 20th century. And I think he was a wonderful man, godly man. And there is no doubt that he was mightily used of the Lord, and he has many wonderful writings. However, he was not perfect, as I'm not perfect, especially towards the latter end of his life, when in his zeal for the Lord, he started to embrace parts of the Pentecostal side of things, the gifts of tongues, which of course is taken out of context, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which have ceased, the whole Scripture teaches. And so he started to embrace those things. And in his zeal to prove and to validate that Christ, the Christian faith, was real to a hostile culture, he embraced these things, you see. And like I said, he was a godly man, but he was in error in these things. You know, men, all types of Christians, have error. That's why we need to have our own convictions in God's word to show ourselves approved. And so we see, don't we, the charismatic movement spreading across the West, as it were. And we need to be on our guard that we are not enticed, because it's a huge movement, because they're very zealous for these things. We need to make sure that we're not being enticed. And they're very nice people, very zealous people. And I don't discount that many of them are true believers. But I must say that many of them, it is also, can be said, from experience, have erred from the faith. And they are relying upon an outward experience and not faith. And so, once again, I need to say that we need to have our own convictions. It cannot be other people's convictions. It cannot be just a verse plucked up out of context, out of Scripture. We as Christians must contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We must be firmly grounded in God's word. And so much As men and sermons and books agree with God's word, so do we. However, I fear it is the other way around nowadays. How often have I heard that such and such a godly man or minister or person, as it were, doesn't have a problem with this or that, or is completely neutral on this particular subject? I've heard it so many times, and I always ask the question, well, who are you following? Are you following Christ, or are you following that person? Are you following God's words, or that person? And you've got to ask that the question. And I'm saying this really as a minister, that I hold myself accountable to God's word, and I expect people to hold me accountable to God's word. Search the scriptures. We have to be accountable to God's word. It has to have the final court of appeal. And so I cannot mention this enough. Make sure that the convictions that you have are your own and not others. And the only way we're going to do that is through heartfelt, comprehensive study, regular daily study in God's most precious word, because we love it, because we do not want to be deceived. Satan is a deceiver, and he does come often as an angel of light to deceive Christians. Even well-meaning Christians can be deceived. And so let us make sure we are often in God's word. Why is it you believe what you believe? Is it because of what the majority believe? Is it because of how you feel? Is it because of what others believe? Well, have you been convinced by the heartfelt study of God's word, by the Spirit that seeks after righteousness? Like I said, we must have our own convictions. It says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture is given, the comprehensive study of scripture. And I do believe the more we read scripture heartfully and prayerfully, the more the Lord opens up our understanding. And yes, there are some difficult parts to scripture. Of course there are. But we're not meant to know everything straight away. There's a sanctifying process. Sanctify them through that truth. It's the living word. It speaks to our circumstance. It speaks to our life. And so we must make sure that we are reading the whole of Scripture, both New and Old Testaments. Perhaps read one of the Old, one of the New, because they fit together like a puzzle, don't they? A perfect puzzle. So in summary, if what I'm describing is foreign to your current practice, I really hope by faith and by the working of the Holy Spirit within you that you apply yourselves to these biblical truths I'm speaking about. Make sure to give God the first fruits of your day and uninterrupted quiet time to your Maker in the study of God's Word. And I cannot emphasize that enough. Make sure that it's uninterrupted quiet time with God in God's Word. Get up a bit earlier if you need to. It doesn't really matter how we look in heaven upon here. If it means, yes, we need to get off sleep and those things are fine, but make sure that it's quiet time, uninterrupted time before the business of the day starts. Make sure it is done from the heart and prayerfully by faith, believing every word, praying over God's word. Otherwise, we will be deceived, won't we? Make sure it's done comprehensively with the convictions that are your own, not other people's convictions, not perhaps other famous sermons that you've heard. Make sure that your own convictions, that you understand the doctrines, why they are, that you can point to them. This is why I believe in the doctrines of grace, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you are saved through faith, not one of yourselves. Why do I believe in these things? Why do I believe that the Sabbath day is a holy day as unto the Lord? Why are these convictions? Why can I say? I can point them to Scripture, I can point them to the New Testament, the Old Testament. And that way we can also help people who are seeking the Lord. And so often we need to be reminded, it's not just for our benefit, it's for the benefit of others in our life, that we've got these words, they're deep within our hearts, and that we can help others as well by them. If these biblical principles are taken on board, they will have a sanctifying effect in affecting your life and being a remedy and a means of grace to combat indwelling sin in your life. It says in Proverbs 35, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. If you want to be purified and shielded, make sure to be daily washed and protected in God's word thoroughly. Now, us men can sometimes get away. I can say this with me growing up in South Africa, with a quick wash, as it were, a wash of the toe or something, and not a comprehensive wash. But God's word needs to be a full wash. We need to scrub it down, as it were. It needs to be a comprehensive washing in God's word, not just a scrubbing on the toe or of the arms or whatever it is. It must be a comprehensive washing, as it were, of the soul. Be sure to know that the Lord's customized trials for your life. And so think about this. The trials that we have in life, they are not standard trials. They are bespoke trials. They are sent from the Lord. They are trials of faith, not of circumstance. They are bespoke, customized trials for you as an individual, for a particular reason. And the Lord will prove you through your trials. And unless you have the Word of God in you, which is tried in fire 7 times, purified, it comes through as silver, purified, as it were. Unless you've got God's Word deep within you, how will you ever overcome the many trials in this life? We must have God's Word in us, and that can only be done if there is a process of regular devotional study time in God's Word, heartfelt, prayerfelt, zealous for the Lord, comprehensive study in God's Word. Because when the trials and storms of life come, and they come to us all, and as believers we'll know of those trials, we've got God's Word in us, 7 times purified, able to keep us from falling. It's everything. It's got all the attributes we need. We can plead for grace. It's got everything. Let us make sure that this is the case. As it says in Psalm 12:6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Only if we have the Lord's words deep within us, we will endure afflictions and trials, though it be tried with fire. I believe the days are coming where we are ever more going to be tried with fire. We see our culture, really, the antagonism towards the gospel, not only in the streets, but in high office now. And I believe that Christians, the true Christians, are going to be those who stand, who really have God's word in their hearts. The times are coming quickly, and we need to make sure by God's grace, by the Holy Spirit, that we give ourselves to his word. We put aside all the distractions and we redeem the time. And so, we at times will need to put things into perspective, won't we? For it says, for grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. The word of our God shall stand forever. The beauty of this life is like a flower, isn't it? It has its beauty, it has its glory, it has its majesty. And that's like a life, isn't it? But what will last on that flower? It's the seed. It's the seed that will last. And of course, if we're Christians, we have the good word and seed of God's word. That's what's going to last forever. That's what's going to be raised up in the dark earth to the heavens by the Son of God. And we need to be those who give ourselves to the Word of God, utterly give ourselves to the Word of God. Let us therefore, brethren, study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And may the Lord God be praised in his most precious word. Let us sing, shall we?